Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Growing Consciousness with your hosts, Coach Seah and Dr. Chan. This is your growth and consciousness program where we discuss all things related to growing our consciousness and allowing our true selves to emerge. We invite you to call in and share with us the first Wednesday of every month at 1 p.m. so that we all can grow in consciousness.
Welcome to another episode of Growing Consciousness. I am one of your hosts. I am Dr. Chan, and I am joined by the lovely, lovely Seah Ray. Seah, hi.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Chan. Hi, listeners. Welcome to this month's episode.
Yes, my delightful co-host, Seah. So today, we are going to be talking about healing from trauma. And of course, most, if not all of us, have been through some type of traumatic experience. How do we deal with the pain from that experience? Do we acknowledge it, or do we pretend that we don't have any hurt or any pain? Are we victims for the rest of our lives? Can we heal from the pain, the hurt, and the trauma, or do we carry that, drag that around for the rest of our lives? Can we move past the pain? Can we move through the pain? Well, we have a wonderful lady who is no stranger to the Growing Consciousness Show. We have Damali Robertson, and Damali is a writer and a social activist. She has dedicated most of her activism to helping end violence against women. Damali is also passionate about having real conversations about challenging issues. And, of course, this is evident through her work with Enough. Enough, of course, was the inspiration for our show on Blog Talk Radio here and her work with 1 Billion Rise in Jamaica. Damali is a graduate of Pitzer College and the University of the West Indies Mona Campus. She is a lifelong learner who aspires to leave the world a better place through innovative and creative projects such as the Souls of Women, which she is going to be talking to us about today. And, of course, Damali is central to the creative team leading the Souls of Women project, and the Souls of Women has started to travel the globe documenting soulful stories. So she's going to tell us about that. Damali, welcome to Growing Consciousness.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's such an honor and a privilege to be a part of your show today. And, the Souls of Women is a project that I really do feel really passionate about because it has the potential to change each person and have each person take a look at the trauma that they face, at the pain, and then, you know, grow and move through it by even looking at the examples of the other people who are sharing their stories. So I'm really happy to be here today.
Wonderful. So, Damali, first off, could you just tell us what is the Souls of Women? What is that?
All right. Well, the Souls of Women is a project that has two parts, essentially. One is a book, and the second part is a documentary film. And ultimately, they go together to tell a story or multiple stories from different women around the globe who have experienced a trauma, a pain, like so many of us have, like all of us have, as, you know, we are all humans, so we've all gone through something. And so ultimately, the hope and the wish for this project is that both the book and the film will do something that will touch lives, that will help people see that, you know, they're not in isolation if they're going through something very difficult, and also there is a way, you know, forward. And so that's ultimately, in a nutshell, what that is right now.
And is it about general trauma of any kind, not just sexual, but emotional?
Exactly, because, you know, I've spent a long time looking at that one particular trauma, even in my own life, and then I recognize, which is, you know, the trauma of sexual violence, but I then recognize that, you know, even me, I had other traumas. I had the trauma of abandonment as a child when my parents got divorced. I had the trauma of having epilepsy for a number of years and having seizures and often very public seizures in front of, you know, people and strangers that left me feeling, you know, a lack of self-worth, left me questioning my own value and who I was on the planet. So when I looked at it, I said to myself, in birthing this project, that there's so much more. And sometimes it's to overlook things. If you're bullied in school or somehow you just don't feel that you're good enough, you had an incident with your mother, your father, your brother. You know, there's so many things in this world that can happen to us to kind of leave an imprint. And so this is definitely broader than sexual violence, but also includes it because it is one of the traumas. Yeah.
And it's interesting that you mentioned that because, of course, what I consider to be a trauma, maybe Seya doesn't consider it to be a trauma. Maybe it's just one of those things. But on the other hand, you know, Seya may go through something that she considers a trauma. And I say, well, you know, that's no biggie. So the examples that you gave, I think, are very important because I think what we experience as trauma is different for everybody because, you know, as you said, you know, many people have shared stories with me where, you know, the divorce of their parents did not affect them, but their siblings were deeply affected and vice versa, you know. So, you know, different people can be in the same situation or have the same experience, but, you know, your own experience or, as say I would say, your experience of that situation can be quite different. So it's important that, you know, we, if something brings us pain or hurt, that we acknowledge that to ourselves.
Right. And I think that's the key, is the part that it brings us pain or hurt. That's the key, because like you said, you know, society, your family, different people will try to dismiss what you're feeling or this thing that happened to you. And if you allow that, often that's where the beginning of the resentment, the bitterness, the shame, you know, all of that stuff kind of filters in because we're not even looking at it because someone told us, well, that's not no big thing, you know. But the reality is that how you feel is valid, and that's the part. That's where you start. Does this hurt you? If this hurts you, that's where you start looking at it as a pain or something that you probably need to work through.
And how have you found it for women coming forward? Have many found it quite difficult, you know, coming forward and talking about their pain, or you find that you happen upon women who are just ready, who happen to be ready to share? And because I wonder about the journey from feeling the shame and, you know, getting to the point of actually wanting to express and share it and to help others.
Right. And I mean, what's been good about this project so far is that it's developed organically through traveling to Jamaica, connecting with people that I know and maybe people that I even kind of know their stories, who then say, well, there's this person, there's that person. So it's kind of evolved organically. And the women that I've encountered so far have been ready, have been like I feel like I have through some of the darkest parts already and have felt that, you know, now I'm at a place to impart some of this so that it can actually continue to transform myself because, you know, often we get triggered and we get pulled back to things that we feel like, oh, we've been, you know, we're over that. And sometimes that's not as simple, right? But also, you know, there's that feeling that, you know, at least I'm ready to share. And so the women that I have encountered and we've talked have been more in that line of, you know, I'm really ready. And that's really kind of what this project is really uniquely about too, is to say that use highlight examples of people who feel ready to tell the story, because we definitely don't want to almost re-victimize anyone who is like newly in their pain, newly kind of like working through it, because you're sometimes not ready to be here yet, you know. But what the hope is that for people to see that you can get here though, you know, it's not perfect here. You know, there's still a lot of work every day here, but at least here there's that hope, there's that that moment of realization that, you know what, this thing is not me. I am more than this thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take what I've learned from this thing and do something with it, you know?
And I think that's what I find really interesting about the film aspect of The Souls of Women. The Souls of Women film seems to be, for me anyway, a lot different from other documentaries that explore hardships or challenges of people. The Souls of Women film seems to not just explore the traumas, as you said, but it explores how women in particular are healing their traumas. So I want to know from you, Damali, as one of the leads on this film, why was it important for your film to explore women who are on the path of healing? I mean, you mentioned already not re-victimizing victims, but why? What, is there another reason why you wanted to highlight the healing process during your film?
Yeah, absolutely, because it works, it's available, it's something that when you're ready to tap into it, is kind of just there and ready for you. And so the reality is that, and I'm even in writing some of the stuff that I wrote, I look back at my 13-year-old self almost at a place where I was probably the most vulnerable and the most hopeless. And I thought to myself, you know, what saved me along that journey was my poetry. What saved me was the fact that I had this outlet where I would just say whatever I wanted in any way that I wanted. And I just remember having that be the vehicle at that age, 13, when I was going through a whole lot of kind of some release. And so the healing process can begin at any time. And sometimes, you know, it starts and you don't even know it's healing. Because when I was writing my poems, I didn't think, oh, this is a healing process. You know, I just thought, well, here's something I can put on paper. But the reality is that when I look back and I can read my 13-year-old poems, I can see that something was happening inside of me to help save me. So it was just like very important for me then to showcase that, to say, first of all, you know, there's a healing process and sometimes we don't even know when it starts. But second of all, it can be through creative outlets. You know, it doesn't have to be sitting necessarily, you know, in a psychologist's office or in a support group, although that could be part of it. But it could be just you journaling, it could be you painting, it could be you dancing. You know, there are things that we do sometimes that, you know, are almost involuntary. Mm-hmm. We're not even sure why we're doing it. But I thought, let's put a light on the things that are proactive and helpful so that people can see that, you know, maybe this thing that I'm doing that I don't even realize is healing is helping me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was why that was kind of important for me in this process.
So for those listening who, you know, may have been newly hurt or just starting to embark on their path of healing and recovery from their trauma, some of their trauma, what I hear is that creative expression is very, maybe very powerful, maybe very helpful in the process. I just, just kind of trying to recap for those who,
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like I said, you know, for me personally, it was, and I've seen that, you know, experiencing the world, you know, I've kind of gone out and seen other poets and seen other storytellers and seen, you know, the dancers of the world and the photographer. And I just see that, you know, often there's this release in that piece of work. That, and also, you know, I don't know if you ever sat in a poetry slam or open mic. I mean, that's kind of my default art that I love, but, you know, so I'll talk about it a lot. But, you know, there's sometimes somebody's telling a story and it's very painful, but there's something very uplifting about it when you're receiving it. When you're sitting there and listening to them talk about, you know, this particular thing that happened to them in that way, it also helps you. To me, the person viewing it, you know? And so that's the other beauty and benefit is that it can be a shared healing process when you express it through the arts. And so that was also a thought of mine is that, you know, it's not just for me or just for the person who wrote the poem or took the picture. It's for the others who are watching and taking it in. who are also mm-hmm. then receiving something from it. And I think that's the important part of the collective experience that this project is really working toward, is to say, you know, let's share in this thing so we can learn from each other and support each other and mm-hmm. benefit each other.
Yeah, I think that is that is an excellent point, Damali. I think, you know, learning and sharing from each other is really great. And as you said, you know, for those of us who are struggling to figure out or trying to find out, okay, I want to, you know, heal from this thing that happened to me. I want to start, you know, in a sense, getting over this experience and not knowing where to start. I think those are some excellent examples, you know, creative outlets. And, you know, we have to remind each other that we don't have to be, you know, a world-renowned mm-hmm. painter or artist or, you know, the number one Pulitzer Prize-winning mm-hmm. storyteller to write. You know, it's for your own release, your own expression. And, you know, instead of sometimes we tend to judge ourselves and to criticize, okay, well, this is not a great poem, let me not bother to write it, or I'm not a great painter or whatever, you know, if you feel like doing it, I would suggest that you do it, and to find other means of creative expression. It doesn't have to be writing, painting, it can be gardening, mm-hmm. cooking, you know, anything. So do you have any other suggestions, Damali, for ways that people can start their mm-hmm. their journey or process of healing?
You know, what I think is that, as you mentioned, you know, there's so many outlets, that where is your passion, where does your heart lie, is my suggestion, because for each of us it's very different, you know. I guess I'm the type of person that kind of looks at others in that way too, and I can see that, you know, Saya, for example, her coaching is probably even a healing stream for her, you know, and Dr. Chan, and I see you doing your radio shows, and we talk about your own spiritual exploration. I'm sure that there's healing in there, and so
absolutely.
I feel like for each person who takes a journey, there's something that you know innately almost is yours, you know, it's something that brings
absolutely.
You that joy, and I feel like
absolutely.
That's the place to start.
Exploring your passions.
Yeah, you know, like what is it that mm-hmm. makes your heart beat, you know?
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Yes, and, you know, even if it's not something that is, you know, acknowledged as something significant by the greater society or, you know, the greater community, if it makes your heart, you know, pump a little fast and get too excited, then by all means, you know, go after it. It could be, and usually is, something very simple, or feels like something very simple. You know, if it's doing people's hair, putting on people's makeup, it's a big deal. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's simple, but it is a big deal, and it is so therapeutic. You're so right, you know, when you describe, you know, about like what I do. And I know, I think I can come, you know, say the same for what Dr. Chan does, just like what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's necessary to remind people that, you know, what our passions are cannot be dictated by society. It can't be dictated by somebody else. Only we can own that and decide to, you know, try a little thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you wish, you could have paint or you could have write for you, paint for you. There's nobody to criticize it, you know. Yeah. And start that process just for you. I have a question. Sorry.
Okay. Go ahead.
Go on, Dr. Chan. Mine can wait a bit.
No, it was just on the same point about, you know, the teaching and the, you know, well, not the teaching, the healing through, you know, what you do and following your passion. And I just remembered something that Oprah Winfrey said some time back. She said that, you know, she sees, or, you know, she got to the point where she wanted her shows to be not the kind of, you know, trash and scandal shows. And she wanted to be always wanted to be a teacher. So she thought about, why can't I use my show to teach? And so she said, you know, even the traumas that she went through, even sexual violence, you know, whatever she went through as well, she said she used her show. She said she's never been to an official therapy session, but her shows were, you know, as you said, mm-hmm. as the both of you have said, they have been very healing to her as she has watched other people. And she said based on, you know, other people coming forth and telling their stories, she got brave enough to tell her stories about abuse and, you know, sexual trauma and that type of thing. So you know, I think it's an excellent point about, you know, using your passion or, you know, your work or whatever it is, you know, as some sort of healing, you know, process for yourself. So that was all my comment.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's a really exceptional example of someone who has taken it and transformed it into this, you know, empire. But really, sometimes I sit down and I watch, for example, Super Soul Sunday, and I really just take in what people are saying. And I just really sit with some of the ideas and the concepts that are floated about, you know, rising above pain, you know, sitting in the pain, you know, coming.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot, there's a thread there. And,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
I just feel like her work is a great example of what can be done when you start from a small, just a small spark of what you're interested in and how that can grow kind of naturally. Not everybody's going to be Oprah, but, you know, like all of us have the potential to kind of grow this thing that we're passionate about is kind of the example that I'm coming with.
Yes. And, you know, you were saying something earlier, and you just mentioned something, and it reminded me of, well, I guess it's a concept that, like, if an animal gets sick, usually they find somewhere dark to hide. Like if a cat isn't well or, you know, a dog or something, they go into this, you know, this dark place, whether it's under the house or under some stairs or somewhere dark to start to heal. And then eventually, as the healing increases, as they improve, they come out into the light for that healing to progress. And I suppose it's just a comment for those who may still be in that place where they're not ready to talk. They probably don't even know if they're healing. They're probably feeling depressed most days. But I just want to say that even in that place, even in that dark place, there is healing. There is magic that is happening if you allow it and if you can perceive it as such and trust that the dark days, too, will pass. They are part of the medicine. They will pass. You know, and give you enough strength to come into the light and, you know, eventually, even if it's sharing story with one other person, that can end up being medicine for hundreds, you know. The question I had for you, Demhali, was in regards to people who have been through quite traumatic experiences, and maybe in relationships or, you know, looking forward to being in relationships, is there anything that you can say to those potential partners or potential partners, just in the way to love them, in the way, you know, in a way that can help them to heal?
Yeah, and you know, the two tools that I've come across the most, and I call them tools kind of on purpose, is empathy and compassion. And, you know, ultimately I think that when someone has gone through something very painful, it can be difficult for a partner or another person to understand it. It can be difficult for a person to say maybe you're in a relationship and your partner's trying to reach out to you, but you've gone through this traumatic thing and you're having, you know, a moment or a day where you don't want to be touched or you don't want, you know, certain things. And so ultimately that can be difficult for the other person, you know, to kind of understand and deal with. But, you know, if the person who has been hurt or gone through something significantly traumatic shares, because I think communication is the other part, you know, is to be able to say, this is a reality for me, this is something that has happened and continues to impact my life, and that person is willing to extend compassion and empathy. I think those two things go a long way. You know, so many of us walk with shame or have walked with shame, which is another thing that impacts partnerships and relationships. And for me, I've stepped out in moments. I've been very vulnerable sometimes where I've shared, you know, this is painful for me or this has hurt me. And so I find that, or this is some shame that I'm dealing with. And I find that shame can exist, really, if you're able to tell the truth. and if you are met with compassion. You know, if somebody can say, you know what, yeah, that's something that you've experienced, but that's not you, and I love you anyway. Those two things, I think, together tend to erase shame, or at least begin to. And so, you know, I think as a partner, to be conscious of those things, that you can really make a difference, really, by extending those things to somebody else, is I think, important and a way to help.
Absolutely. And I said partner, but I should have expanded that to relatives and family and friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because, I mean, they're critical, too, the relatives, family,
absolutely,
and friends. And so often they are the ones to tell you to get over it, get past it, forget about it.
Yes.
But, you know, why are you still talking about that fun? You know?
With good intentions.
It's really
what they want. What they want is for you to feel better. But sometimes, you know, we don't understand the process of feeling better is not instantaneous. But I think it comes from a good place in most cases. You know, it's like, why? No, snap out of that. Or, you know, why are you messing that bother you? Or, you know. It's coming, I think in most cases it's coming from a good place, but, you know, that as you said, that empathy, that compassion of understanding that process may not be overnight.
Right. And you said something earlier about individuals. You know, like, you could be in the same family, have siblings, and each person responds to something very differently. And that's the other thing, is remembering that each person is uniquely made in this way, that one child might get over it, quote unquote, and another one might sit with it for 5 years. But that's just the way human beings are made up. We're very different. And so I think, like you said, they probably aren't well-meaning when they're saying, get over it, chill, you know. But it's that deeper understanding of, oh, this individual may really need more time.
Yeah.
And what's the role of forgiveness, Damali? I know we have a very short period of time left on the show, and this is like a big, big topic in and of itself. But, you know, briefly, could you summarize the role of maybe forgiving yourself and others in this whole process of healing? And
I think it's critical. I think it's the center of many of these things. And I touched on shame, and I think shame and forgiveness go together, especially when you're dealing with yourself. So if you can forgive yourself of something, and often we hold ourselves to the highest, like we are hardest on ourselves is what I'm trying to say. And so if we can forgive ourselves, often that helps us release some of that and, you know, make a step forward. And then forgiving others, it's basically the same thing. And I think often people feel like if you forgive someone, you're letting them off the hook, like, you know, it was okay what they did to you or what you experienced. But really, when you dig deeper and dive deeper into forgiveness, it's really releasing you, you know, from being bound by the anger and the resentment and the bitterness that kind of comes out of that. And then, you know, in releasing you, then you there's a freedom with that. And it really doesn't excuse what was done. It just says, you know what, I'm able to move on from it. So I think forgiveness is central.
Wow. Well, Damali, we are coming rapidly to the close of our show, but before you we'd like to ask you about, well, we only have less than a minute left, but we want to ask you, the Souls of Women is a very interactive project. How can I share my experience of trauma, my healing journey with Souls of Women?
We have a Facebook page, so also on Facebook, Souls of Women. We have Twitter, so we're Souls of Women on Twitter. And we also have a blog, and on that blog there's a form where you can submit your stories. You can submit your name, email address, and, you know, works of art or anything that you'd like us to consider for the book or the film. So there are many ways to get in touch with us, as well as soulsofwomen@gmail.com.
Right.
Wonderful.
And the documentary, is it already done? Can I see it, or...
Well, no, we're just starting, so we're at the beginning.
Okay.
And we did our first country, which was Jamaica, and we're hoping to go to Canada next. And so it is a work in progress, and we're hoping to go to at least 9 different countries and speak with different women over the next year or two. So it's ongoing, so it's not already done, and we're still welcoming submissions.
Great. And again, one last time, where can we go to keep track of the updates of the film and the date?
Definitely www.soulsofwomen.com. That's
wonderful. Damali, we thank you so much for being a wonderful guest on Growing Consciousness. You know, we wish you all the success in Souls of Women, and we definitely will love to have you back again. So on behalf of Coach and myself, for wishing you
thank
a wonderful
you.
Day. Yes, and thanks everybody
and
for
thank
joining
you.
Us.
All right, ladies.
It's wonderful.
It was
work.
Lovely talking to you. All right, then.
Indeed. So this has been Growing Consciousness for March. We will see you again next month in April for a wonderful, as Damali would say, another deep dive into Growing Consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Take care and see you next time.
Thanks for joining Coach Seya and Dr. Chan today on Growing Consciousness. Join us the first Wednesday of next month for another insightful and informative discussion. Stay tuned and keep growing in consciousness.